Chapter number 2, Ruth chapter number 2. You have that passage, would you say amen?
Amen?
Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are gleaning and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. I'm going to stop there with verse 14. If you've been here and heard the first three sermons from this Book of Ruth, you know that very recently, as of last week, we spoke about Ruth's resolute decision to go with Naomi back to Judah, which was not her home. Was not Ruth's home. There was something in Naomi. It's not like that pop song several years ago, you know, "Something in Your Eyes." It's nothing like that. This is not a romantic notion at all, which would be perverted according to Christian convictions. But there was something about Naomi's character. There's something about her commitment to her God, her people. You know, the promise of the Israelites is very much grounded in the land that God gave them, that Naomi wanted to go back to her land. her people. How many times had Ruth heard Naomi talking about Yahweh and the way of life that she enjoyed in Judah? Even in that small village of Bethlehem, which later would take such great importance, as we've just remembered in the advent, the coming of Christ. She was so convicted and so convinced that what Naomi believed in and what she wanted to do with her life as being virtuous, that she wanted that for herself. And no matter what Naomi said to her to convince her she ought to go back to Moab, Ruth said, "No, I'm not going back." Naomi reminded her that it was not only her family back in Moab, it also was where her God was. Ruth was willing to walk away from all of that without saying a word about her pagan God. She was renouncing her God and was becoming, or had become, a believer in Yahweh. Your people will become my people, and your God will become my God. She went on further. Wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die. That's where God wants me. Where you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. I'm staking my claim. I'm putting down my roots in Judah. It's a mission of faith, because I'm not Jewish. I'm a Moabite. I'm an enemy of Israel. I'm a foreigner. By faith, I'm going to make this trip so that when I get to Judah, Yahweh smiles upon me. Your people will become my people, and your God will become my God. Well, let me remind you that no one who comes to God out of a pure conviction is turned away from God. Jesus said, "If you come to me, I won't cast you out." After all, this is his role, isn't it, as Savior? And here, Ruth, even though she's a Gentile, Ruth's loyalty is not only admirable, but Ruth's loyalty is also a reflection of the loyalty that God shows his people, the people of God. Ruth's commitment to Naomi is a commitment to the grave. And as I mentioned last week, Christ's commitment to us is beyond the grave. It doesn't end at the grave. It goes beyond the grave. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you" is not just appropriate when you're going through a trial or a tribulation and praying that the Lord will be with us and not leave us, but will help us through that. But the love of God leaps every chasm, including death. That's what the resurrection of Christ did for us. Not only did it give us justification with God, because a dead Savior is no Savior at all, but it also gives us hope that when we face death, that's not the end. This old body will decay, but it's simply waiting to be married again to that spirit that's been forever sanctified. And we have new bodies to live on a new heaven and new earth. The interaction between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And as I just mentioned, Ruth, who in this instance is displaying the loyal love of God. It shows us loyalty is one of the great themes of the book of Ruth. But it reminds us of the glorious promise in Scripture that says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 37, 39. Ruth points us to the promises of God, the loyal nature of the covenant promises of God. Ruth had only two options when you think about it. No different from anybody else today. She would either go back to Moab and to her God, or she would go to Judah and worship Yahweh. She couldn't have both. And when a person feels the genuine conviction of the Holy Spirit, they don't want two gods. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will always lead us to Jesus Christ. He will not speak of himself, but will speak of me. The Holy Spirit is the one, he is the one who speaks of Jesus, makes big of Christ, shows us Christ. She only had two options. She couldn't serve them both. It's further scriptural evidence that our Lord demands total and complete devotion and will have no other gods before him. Ruth was drawn to God, Israel's God, Yahweh. And she was doing exactly as the Lord was leading her to do, to turn her back upon a false god and serve the true and living God. Another thing this tells us, this interaction with Ruth, is that contrary to what we hear some people say, who I suppose, giving them the benefit of the doubt, that they're meaning well, even though they're incorrect, there are not many roads to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach there are many roads to heaven. There's only one. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life." And for those who think they have a secret passage to God, no one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, 6. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. And let me say this in regards to evangelism, when we are speaking to others about Christ. Naomi had wisdom. She didn't belabor the point. She had been used as a vessel, a tool to draw Naomi to Yahweh. But if she kept talking, she might mess everything up. So what am I about to say? I'm about to say something I learned many years ago that when the Holy Spirit stops speaking, we need to stop speaking. When she saw that Ruth had a determination, that she had a conviction that this was what she was to do, become a follower, not of Naomi, a follower of Yahweh. Your God will become my God. That's bigger than any relationship with Naomi. It's bigger than any relationship with any person. When she saw that she was being drawn and determined and being led to go with her to a land that was not even her home, it was a move of faith and courage. She said no more. You ever run into a salesperson who talks too much? They blow the sale. They don't know how to shut up. Person's giving all kinds of buying signs. Sometimes even says, yes, I want it, but they just keep on talking. Finally, the person closes the checkbook up, puts it in their pocket. What caused Ruth to leave her home country where her family lived and to go with her mother-in-law was the conviction of God. Naomi's initial advice to Ruth made sense on a natural scale, or in the natural sense. Moab's your home. That's where you have family. It'd be a lot easier to find a husband when you're ready for that. Your husband has passed, if that's what you decide to do with your life. You know the culture. You know the language. It just makes perfect sense. But what makes sense about a Galilean dying on a cross who committed no sins for the sins of not only fellow Galileans and Jews everywhere, but Jewish proselytes and Greeks and Romans? What sense does that make? We follow Christianity not because it makes sense in our way of thinking, but we follow it by faith. We believe what God has said in His Word to be true. That's our conviction. I believe I asked you this last week, what causes us to make certain decisions that we're faced with? What causes us to have urges? What is it that is sparking our curiosity at times? Sometimes it goes beyond the natural inclinations we have. For we can look back and say, yes, God did lead us. God led me. Should be stated that the marriage of Ruth, as I said, a Moabite, when she had been married to the son of Elimelech, and Naomi, who was a Jew, was a violation of the law, according to Deuteronomy 7. And what constituted the violation is the fact that there had been a prohibition against Jewish men marrying women who were not worshipers of Yahweh. The concern, of course, was, God's concern is that we would have worshipers of Yahweh who are marrying women who worship other gods, and they would contaminate, confuse their families. And we would have people of God being responsible for bringing into the world people who do not have an allegiance. They're not a part of the covenant family. if they go on to serve other gods. Israel's national identity was potentially at stake in marrying, driving people away from worshiping Yahweh. It wasn't an ethnic thing, it was religious. Spiritual. God desired his people to be faithful to him. Don't worship other gods. Naomi, Ruth was made in the image of God just like Naomi was. God's concern was for his people to follow him and not to go after other gods. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after someone in whose eyes I have found favor." They both needed to eat, by the way. Not just Ruth, but Naomi. Naomi had lost it all. She had walked away from whatever she had, whatever life she had in Moab, whatever she had accumulated and could not bring with her on this long track back to Judah. She left it all. She had little of nothing. The story continues in chapter 2 with the two women arriving in Bethlehem at harvest time. How wonderful the providence and the sovereign nature of God is for hungry people to show up at harvest time. Harvest time means there's food available. And even for someone like Ruth, who is a stranger, a Moabite in Judah, perhaps the opportunity for her to become a reaper was far more possible than if she had arrived at another time of year when there was little grain to be picked. She could glean in these harvest fields for food, which was a common way that the poor or the less fortunate were able to eat. The reapers would first go into the land and take the land, the produce, but then you also had the gleaners who'd go in after them. The reapers were commissioned to leave some for the unfortunate. So the gleaners would go in first, and then reapers would go in first rather than the gleaners would go in, and they'd find sufficient food that they could be fed. She happened to go into a field. It was Naomi's relative, Naomi's husband's relative, actually, but Naomi's relative by birth, whose field that Naomi happens to be in and looking to find work and food. And it says that when Boaz and Ruth were there in the same field, it happened they were in the same row. Ruth working, Boaz supervising, of course. And seeing Ruth, he asked, "Who is she? Who is this young woman?" Servant of his, a supervisor, so to speak, told Boaz the full truth, that Ruth was not a Hebrew, but she is a Moabite woman who returned to Bethlehem with Naomi. I looked at the text that says the servant told the truth. I'd like to say that if we want God's blessings upon us, even in times of struggle, difficulty, it's still important to tell the truth. And not to manipulate things to try to do God's job for him. Make a way for yourself, but told the truth about who she was. But what was wonderful about this information once Boaz received it? Nothing Naomi, or this servant rather, nothing that this young man told Boaz turned him against Ruth.
There was nothing about Ruth that offended Boaz or caused him to want to do nothing. Expel her from the field. Cast her out. Do away with her. Put someone else in her place. Nothing that was said about Ruth caused Boaz in his heart to turn from her. And it's here that our minds must think. It should place us in that same field as Ruth. A foreigner, estranged from the commonwealth of God, not counted among the people of God. Ruth is hungry and she's looking for food and nothing which would satisfy her. Every one of us who has come to Christ knows that we saw in Christ food we did not have. Some of us searched in many different places for something that would bring us satisfaction. But in reality, it was detrimental to us. Like Ruth, we came to Christ because we saw that there was potential for a better life. Joy instead of sorrow. Peace instead of confusion. A sense of well-being and communion with God Almighty that we did not have when we were estranged from God. Everyone who's come to Christ, we came, we followed that call to our Judah because we saw in Christ a life we did not have. We saw fellowship that we lacked. We needed a spiritual home, and by the effectual calling of our Lord Jesus, we are now considered like Ruth among the people of God. Ruth was not looked upon any differently in that field. Reapers and gleaners, no differently than any other Jewish person who was in that field. Then he told Ruth, no longer glean in another field, but stay close with the young women. And when Ruth would get thirsty, She should go to the containers and drink from where the servants have drawn. Do you see now that Boaz has incorporated Ruth into the family of God? Well, just what would have happened if God, in his great conviction, led us to his church, and the church says, I'm sorry, you can't come in. We have the protection of God upon Ruth. Stay in this field and stay with these young women. God, through Boaz, is looking after Ruth's well-being, and then also when you become thirsty, I've already given you food. But when you become thirsty, drink from the same place where the other servants are drinking. There's no discrimination in God. Big people, little people, important people, not so important people, rich, not so rich, poor, whatever. No matter where you've come from, God looks at us all the same. Boaz would provide every need that Ruth has. For Ruth to abide with other young women in the field would be for her safety. and for her to help herself to the food growing in these fields, and to be able to drink from the water his servants provided when she was thirsty would meet her physical needs. And here is a reflection of the work of the Holy Spirit providing for you and me, protecting us, quenching our thirst, while also providing fellowship and encouragement, and at the same time assimilating us into the company of God's people. Even though Ruth was a foreigner, Boaz showed her no disrespect, no prejudice, nor did he treat her as an outcast, but he went out of his way to show Ruth great hospitality. How many times have we shunned the Lord's invitation? But the great hospitality of the Holy Spirit, God continues to say, not only are you welcome, but come in. Come. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We run away from God. We try to follow another pathway. We try to do something different, thinking it's going to quench that spiritual thirst we have inside. And you hear that voice again, come, come unto me. All you labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The great hospitality of God is seen in Boaz with Ruth. By natural order, she didn't belong there. And by natural order, you nor I belong here. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But here we are gladly, by heaven's count, counted among the people of God. That is the great grace and hospitality of God. Well, let me end by saying, Boaz here is representative of the coming Redeemer. He's pursuing Ruth's welfare as he at the same time is drawing her to himself. Ruth said, I want to find someone in whose field I'm gleaning that I can find faith. She didn't know it, but God had already appointed someone, Boaz, who was able and willing to show her his favor. Boaz is singularly, and we'll get into this more next week, singularly interested in Ruth's good. And may I remind you that God is only interested in doing you good. Amen. Oh, we've trampled upon God. We've disrespected God. But God is only interested in showing us good. Boaz's plans for Ruth were honorable and merciful and gracious all at the same time. And I would like to say to you this morning, so is God's plans for you and me. It is to be gracious to us and merciful to us, and always honorable. God's singular interest in you and me is to show us good. And may I ask you, who wouldn't want to serve a God like this? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you because you love us with a love that will never let us go. Help us, Lord, as we're reminded of your goodness, to never fail to give you thanks. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.